This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, eh?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Bills and Dolphins, Sunday at 1. Week 9 kicks off tonight with the Houston Texans at the New York Jets. Not the least relevant or interesting game to the Bills' future here in 2024. I don't know if the Jets still have enough time to get there or a good enough team. But they are favored, interestingly, at home against the 6-2 Texans who have now lost Stephon Diggs. Let's get into Sunday and then maybe also that. Catch up on the news with Sal Capaccio, who joins us now on the West Her Hotline. First, Sal, happy Halloween. I'm thinking it's an exciting night over there.
Yeah, it always is. We get into it a little bit. So we have some fun, and our neighborhood is really great. A couple streets over, we like to go over where there's just a whole bunch of kids and parents and houses that are really kind of done up, people outside waiting for the kids to come by. And we have some neighbors, some friends of ours live a few streets away who have a nice little party every year, some food and drinks, and we stop by there. So it should be a nice night tonight.
This very much sounds exactly like my existence when my kids were little. Same thing. So neighbors, the party, yep, the whole thing. Like, just is perfect. Yeah. So should be
love
fun.
It.
What's
love
Max
it,
sure, dressing up as this year?
You.
So he has this, I don't know the name of the character. There's some sort of, like, it's called Fall Guy or something, some game called Fall Guy or something, and there's all these different characters, and he's this huge inflatable, so he's literally, like, 7 feet tall, and it's this inflatable thing, and he won a costume contest at school the other day when we went because he wore this thing, and, like, there's pictures of him, and he's in the inflatable, and all his buddies are next to him, and they're just super small because they're, like, half his size, right, and he's this big inflatable dude, so you can't see him, but, you know, he won, which is great, and then Yana bought me and her and I, we are wearing skeleton pajamas. So the black pajamas with the skeleton outline, and that's what we'll be wearing tonight, and that glows in the dark.
Probably not a reference to the Fall Guy, the Lee Majors.
That's exactly what I was
crime
thinking.
Drama adventure
wasn't
series.
Wasn't the $6 million man the Fall Guy?
Lee Majors. That's the name of it. I'm yes, not sure.
It is. Yeah. It is. Heather Thomas.
Well, no, the show that we're talking about, Sal's suggesting maybe his thing is.
Oh, I don't know,
Fall Guy.
Sorry. I'm sure it's not the same.
Yeah,
whatever it is.
I'm pretty confident.
Something like that. I could have been wrong in the name. I thought that's what one of the kids called it or something. I'm not sure. I believe it is called Fall Guy. Yeah, there it is. And I'm looking at some of the images. I think that's it.
That sounds exciting. 7 feet. I'm into it.
Yeah, he's pretty big.
All right, let's start with the injuries, Sal. So Christian Benford, for me, is the most interesting, perhaps, development here. What do you know on that front?
Well, yeah, for sure. He went from a full participant to a limited participant today. So a lot of times you look and go, okay, what's that mean? Did he get hurt in practice? I will say, though, he was listed yesterday with the wrist injury.
Right.
So it's a wrist injury. That's what it is. And it's not like he just appeared today, right, in the injury report. A lot of times that happens, you're like, oh, man, something happened at practice. So it's very possible that he had some sort of setback, or it's just possible that they laid off him today at a more, maybe a more rigorous practice of some sort, right? That could be it as well. I will tell you, I saw him out there today. He was working with the DBs, and you know, there didn't seem to be anything I wouldn't have noticed because I wasn't looking for that necessarily. But you know, when you look at attendance, you look around and you don't notice anything. But so we'll see more on tomorrow. But he was listed yesterday with a wrist injury. He just went from full to limited today.
And how do you have any sense of on Amari Cooper at this point? I saw some video that seemed to indicate his hand was at least, you know, there's a glove and some protective stuff there. But I also saw him catching passes with that. So, like, I don't know. I imagine he's probably being somewhat careful, and so are they with it. But, like, could a receiver, like, I know a DB, like Benford had a, didn't he play with a club at one point in his rookie year, maybe, I feel like? I don't know, that seems familiar to me. We've seen DBs do that. They get, you know, get through the game. They don't have to be able to catch. Obviously, a receiver is a different thing. I mean, catching is vital.
Yeah, for sure. He did do that a while back. And, you know, even remember we talked about maybe Taron Johnson could have wore something like that when he
had,
you know, his broken forearm. You know, I mean, like, if you're definitely in different positions, but, you know, a wrist injury for a wide receiver, you're not going to be able to play through unless, you know, you really are very comfortable with that. What I find interesting is he has not been wearing a red non-contact jersey either at practice, right? So as much as it seems like, you know, he's got it wrapped up and you want to be careful, yeah, he's been catching practices in the pre-practice portion. Didn't really see him do too much with Josh Allen, to be honest with you, when they went to more of the, you know, teamwork or quarterback wide receiver stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and there's a big difference between catching a lob from a coach than catching a fastball from Josh Allen, obviously. So it could be just maintaining. We'll see where it goes. I think obviously tomorrow we'll hear from Sean McDermott. He's going to join me in the Extra Point Show, and that'll be one of the big ones we'll be, you know, on the lookout for.
Wrist injuries to receivers, that would include Amari Cooper at this point. Is there anything new on him?
Yep.
That was who we just talked about.
That's what we were just talking about, right? Amari Cooper.
Sorry.
I think if you want to talk about Mike Curtis Samuel,
he's updating a fantasy lineup and he missed that.
But is there?
Yes.
Since you were just talking, is there anything
new? Nothing new since the last 5 seconds when I talked to Bulldog, no.
My apologies. Tyler Bass, Sal. So there was a roster move, I believe. The practice squad kicker who was brought in was let go. Has Bass, to put it one way, made it through the rain here? I mean, for a couple of weeks, it was maybe touch and go. He's been perfect since then. So what do you think that is?
Yeah, I really find it interesting on both fronts, actually. Releasing a player and bringing in a wide receiver again. We'll start with actually bringing in somebody, because does the re-addition of Deion Kane to the practice squad mean anything for Amari Cooper or Curtis Samuel's availability, right? You'd say, well, he's not going to play anyway. Well, yeah, but if you are trending towards having less guys available, especially two at a position, you might want to insure yourself with another guy to be able to practice and have enough reps for everybody. So does that mean that, does that mean something for their availability? You know, I find that interesting. And then, of course, maybe more interesting, obviously, would be the kicker. The Bills did, you know, release their kicker they signed to the practice squad, Lucas Haversick, maybe what, last week, a couple weeks ago, whatever it was that he got here. And Tyler Bass has been, let's see, was 6 for 6 a couple weeks ago against the Titans, and then last week
all buttoned up. Yep.
5.
Yeah, again. So I mean, obviously they feel pretty comfortable with him right now, and not gonna he's been kind of on watch here for the last couple of weeks, but all it takes, guys, to me, is a poor performance. Let's hope that doesn't happen. And if it does, we could be right back in the same spot, basically.
Look,
I think that could happen, too, right? Which is just because it's not like you're going to have Haversick kick this week. So let's just say Tyler Bass, unfortunately, has some, you know, game where you're like, oh, my God, here we go again. They could literally just add the practice squad guy back next week.
Sure. Yeah, right. And of course, if he does stumble this week, the crowd that thinks guys need someone breathing down their neck to be sharp will have their day. Because they brought the guy in. He hasn't missed since. Right? They brought this Haversick in after the Jet game, right? Bass missed a field goal and an extra point in that game. He's been perfect since. So now let him clang one off the upright against Miami and be like, see, he needs the pressure. I'm putting on the voice there like I'm making fun of it, but I don't know. I mean, maybe there would be something to that. I don't know. But the receiver thing is more curious to me, Sal, because they've got Hamler, Shavers, Jalen Virgil already. on the practice squad as receivers. They could, you know, break glass in case of emergency. To need a fourth is pretty curious, I'd say.
Yeah, the other reason why, this is really one of those kind of deep into the weeds things that happens sometimes with teams, is sometimes they'll sign a player with a look ahead to a game coming up in a week or two that they want to have that player replicate someone on the other team, right? So if you have a receiver, let's say you're facing, maybe next week, Michael Pittman, let's say, Indianapolis, I don't know. And you say, you know what, this guy's skill set size is very similar, so let's sign him to the practice squad, because that's literally the job of the practice squad. The job of the practice squad is to simulate the other team. So the more closely you can resemble the other team, the better. Now, I'm not saying that's why they signed Deion Kane. He's a bigger-bodied guy, but maybe coming up on their schedule, there's something they see down the road where they're thinking, let's get him in here now so we can do that. It could also be for insurance for next week, maybe. Hey, you know, we got a couple guys banged up. What if this bleeds into next week? Let's make sure we're just buttoned up where we have enough guys. There's definitely some things that, you know, you could kind of think about along with all of that. Interesting today, real quick, guys, too. Brandon Codrington, while we were out at practice, Brandon Codrington, the punt and kick returner, he fielded a kickoff, and then as he took a few steps, he slipped. And when he fell down, he ran right into the back of Ray Davis. And they had a big collision, kind of. Well, luckily, Ray Davis got up, because it looked like, ooh, he might have taken the worst of it. But then Codrington actually laid down for quite a while. Trainers were tending to him. Sean McDermott went over there. And then he got up, he walked over, and they sat him down again, and they were working on what looked to be his right knee. Stability exercises, you're like, oh man, this really stinks for this kid. But then he got up and went back into the DB drills by the time we left, and then he is not on the injury report today with anything new, or at least I think he is, but nothing new from yesterday. There was something I got to look again, but he was, because there's a lot of names. He showed up yesterday as a full participant and again today. There you go. Hip and knee today as well. Okay, so you know what? Yesterday was hip, and I think they added the knee today, but okay, it's both as a full participant on both days.
Deion Kane was a Colt, but it was 5 years ago, so I'm guessing that has nothing to do with sales theory. Yeah. Holds more water than mine possibly could. Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. Let's talk about Josh Allen here. So, with each week, without the turnovers, there's one interception. More and more people, I think, around the country that follow this stuff are noticing, like, that he's putting up a year where, by the way, Patrick Mahomes shares the league lead with 9, and Jordan Love is also at that number, and he hasn't even played all the games. You know, it sort of jumps off the page. Others are pointing out, too, and even Allen himself a couple of weeks ago sort of made fun of himself about it. I'm throwing interceptions, they're just not being caught. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to hear your analysis of how he's playing, just in terms of whether it's different or significantly different than even last year.
I don't think it's as different. I do think that there's still some plays in there that, you know, just by luck of the draw have gone his way. But I generally, and I don't break down every quarterback looking at it this way and know the numbers, I generally think every quarterback gets away with a few that the other team could have intercepted, right? It's probably pretty normal. Yeah, he had a couple. I think he had 2-1 game against Jacksonville, if I remember right. But, you know, they didn't hold on to it. But that happens in football. I feel like the offense overall is going to the shorter stuff, a little bit more underneath. But guys, this is what we talked about in March, right? In April, where it just seemed like they wanted to build this offense. They want to have guys catch the ball and then run after catch. And what I still remember Sean McDermott talking about this at the owners' meetings and combine both, where he said, you know, there's ways to get the ball down the field without throwing it over the top of the defense. You can get it to players and have them run. It works the same. And it's, you know, results is the same. And he even talked about those being explosive plays, just like throwing it over the defense is an explosive play. And I think this is the model they've wanted to go to. And that's what he's doing. His average length of completion on the year, if you just take just his completions, 19th in the league at 5.55. You compare that to last year. Where was he last year? He was 11th in the league, over 6 on his average completion. Like, this is clearly, to me, the difference. By the way, 2 years ago, 2nd in the league, 7.5 yards.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
On justice completions. Clearly to me, this is a design in the offense which has helped Josh Allen not throw interceptions, but it's also just something they've wanted to do here because of the way defenses are trending now in the NFL and what they feel is best to go forward.
It'll be interesting to see how this game unfolds with that in mind, Sal. We were just talking a little bit ago. We both came across a note from Mina Kimes who points out that Miami, you know, the shorter stuff, they're excellent. At maybe third in the league, I think was the number I saw. But you get to downfield stuff, and they really struggle defending passes downfield.
Yeah, so this might be an opportunity for the Bills to test out that downfield passing game. I do think the Bills have gone downfield more lately. I don't have those numbers in front of me right now, but just from the naked eye, you know, you guys can look at it if you want, but just from the naked eye, I do think that they've gone downfield a little bit more over the last few weeks, and I do think that's partly because Amari Cooper came in. I think Keon Coleman's a big thing for this, though. Like, it just feels like Josh is trusting him at all parts of the field. Last week, it felt like Josh was a little bit more willing to get out of the pocket and throw downfield. He even took off a couple of times. I think he's feeling better about the hand. Obviously, that would make sense for something like that. They had a couple designed runs for Josh last week. So I think that more of the playbook is being opened a little bit here because of the addition of Cooper, the growth of Coleman, and the, you know, hand of Josh Allen. And then you talk about the Miami Dolphins. Well, guess what? On top of that, it looks like your buddy Javon Holland's not going to play. I say that because I know you love watching him. You know, he's a fun player, right, Bulldog?
Yep.
And I do, and I agree. He's a really fine player. But he has not practiced 2 days in a row. And I don't know if he's going to be available in this game. And Kader Kohou might not be available. Now, that's a guy the Bills have actually beaten pretty well anyway. And
right. You
might say you want him on the field because the Bills know how to beat him. Zach Sealer not practicing a second day in a row. They're not generating a pass rush. If Josh Allen can stand back there and have time, this might be a game, because it looks like the weather will be conducive for it, that maybe the Bills say, we're going to start going over the top a little bit. The question would be, who do you have to do that? Because of Amari Cooper with his situation and Curtis Samuel, you know, do you have the players that you want to be able to do that with?
You wonder, Sal, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, how much more from the Bills can the Dolphins take with just, I mean, it really is incredible. Games where they needed to win and the Bills didn't, and they still get blown out. Home games, you know, this year the primetime game, last year how it ended, and it ends at the Bills' hands in their stadium. Close games, even the playoff game was close, but just it's 12 out of 13 that they've lost currently. And I wonder what you think psychologically that means to the Dolphins, because I could see guys being very different about it from each other, where some would be, you know, they wouldn't even necessarily know or think about how they've done against a certain opponent, and then others might obsess over it. And, you know, this starts with the quarterback.
I mean, it has to be in your head, right? It just has to. I can't imagine it's not. We're talking about it constantly. They're being reminded of it constantly. Their media is all over it. Like, man, this, like, what are you supposed to do against this team? This team's owned you. And they write about it a lot. It's always right there. And there's got to be some sort of schematic reason as well. And whatever Sean McDermott's doing against Mike McDaniel's offense, their quarterback, you know, like you said, Tua, and him thinking just the style of play he has and what the Bills have, you know, for them. So no doubt. And you said what, 12 out of 13, Mike? Is that what it is?
Including playoffs. Yeah.
And that, and remember, the one game the Bills lost, they were almost in position to win the game. It was the hot game down in Miami.
Right.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And like, they it was a short-armed pass to Isaiah McKenzie. Like, the Bills were right there. So You know, obviously the Dolphins came close last year. They had the Bills on the ropes. They blew the lead at the end of the game, at the end of the season, and then they come down to Week 18, and the Bills get a punt return that essentially sealed the game. The Bills pretty much beat them most of the game anyway, but scoreboard-wise, it came down to that. I think it has to be in their head in some way, shape, or form. So, yeah, I can't imagine. Look, when the Bills were losing to the Patriots every year, twice a year, it didn't matter who the coach was for the Bills. It was just something we talked about all the time. And it was something players knew about all the time. And yeah, they could say all they want. Well, you know, I wasn't here for that. But they're just getting reminded of it all the time. I remember then when Jordan Poyer signs with the Dolphins. And he said something of the effect of, this has been a team that basically when they get punched in the mouth, they don't respond. And I'm kind of here to change that a little bit. I'm paraphrasing. That's what he said. Something along those lines. So there's got to be, even from the outside, you think they are like that. Like you think, hey, we know what we do to this team. Let's get on them early because they're going to feel that again.
Yeah, something else to maybe keep an eye on. Chris Brown made it what I thought was an interesting observation, interesting enough for me to want to bring it to you and to our show here, talking with Steve Tasker earlier today on One Bills Live, how it appeared to him, looking at the game film of Miami's loss last week to Arizona, that as quickly as the ball almost always comes out as it is with Miami, that considering Tua's situation, he's just back from concussion. It was his first game back. He felt the ball was coming out even faster. Like that was like McDaniel was consciously protecting him. And I wonder about that on two fronts. One, do you try to take a little more time this time and pay a price? Or if it's going to come out fast like that, can the Bills just kind of sit on some stuff?
Yeah, I wonder too. And I mean, it would be smart, right? Considering his, you know, situation. And I would get it from a game plan standpoint. If I'm Mike McDaniel, that makes sense. I would understand why they would want to do that. But sure, I think the Bills would understand that, want to do that. You know, he's also a smaller quarterback. Last week, you know, you saw that batted down pass right away. Look for hands to get up right away this week, guys. Like, as soon as that ball snapped, Bills are getting their hands up. You get your hands up. Don't let them have passing lanes right away. Look for a couple batted passes. I think the Bills would love for that to happen. Get a couple batted passes. Maybe one of them winds up in the hands of a defender. Maybe you creep up on the wide receivers a little bit. You're a little closer. You don't even have to jam them, but you can. But you could be a little bit closer to them. And we talked about this in week two, you know, in possibly doing that. But if that's the case, for sure. Look, I think, though, that the path to the Dolphins getting an upset here, they have to run the ball. And they've been pretty good at it lately. The Dolphins have actually run the ball very well over the last few weeks. Jalen Wright's now fitting in. I'm reading a lot in Miami about how people want him to get much more of an opportunity. But, it, you know, you could insert name here, Raheem Mostert or Devon Achane. Like, they just have these certain types of running backs that fit their scheme. That's what they do well. And they've run the ball well. And I think that would take pressure off Tua. That would keep the Bills' offense off the field. To me, like, that's what they're going to want to do when they come in here.
So that 12 out of 13, the loss is that game in the heat that Sal mentioned, and the Bills outgained Miami by 285 yards and still lost, which is amazing. Pretty crazy, especially without it being like a dramatic difference in turnovers. So I just did a quick stat head search, and I've got 12 games going back, at least maybe Super Bowl era, I think this would be, where that has happened, where a team outgained the other by as many as 285 yards and still lost the game. So it's unusual, to say the least, in NFL history. The top, just, you're going to love it, maybe, hopefully. The top game on this list for this is a 2000 game between the Jets and the Ravens that the Ravens won 34-20, but were outgained 473-78. Now, that's just passing. 524-142. It was a difference of 382 yards, and the Jets lost by 14. Interception return, two punt return touchdowns, a safety.
Oh, man.
Testaverde, 36 for 69, 481. 69 passes, regulation time. And Dilfer, 11 for 25, 99.
I'm looking at it now. That was the final game of the regular season that year.
And that's
that was the last week.
That's their Super Bowl year. That's their famous 2000 Ravens. I mean, so their last game of the season, they won despite being outgained by 385. Oh, who do you like tonight, Sal?
Well, you're asking who would I pick or who would I like to win for the Bills purposes? Because I think that's an interesting debate, by the way. I put a poll out earlier today on X, and I mean, I'm getting both. There are literally people, and this is when you know you have a good poll or a good question. Well, you're really dumb if you want the Jets to win, and then there's others. I can't believe anybody with a brain will want the Texans to win, right? Like, it's just the same thing. You get both ways. I think the Jets are going to win. I think the Jets win this game tonight. I think the Texans are a little bit, they're undermanned now. They're suffering some injuries here. They're going down the road on a short week. The Jets' backs are against the wall, but yet they have been for the last few weeks. I get it, but I just think this is a spot where I do think that it doesn't mean that they're going to play great. I just think the Jets are going to win this game. And honestly, I go back and forth, too, about the, like, who, what it's better for. I think that might be better for the Bills. I would just say this, though. The Jets' schedule, as the season gets longer, there are some opportunities for them. So if they just start to kind of feel a little bit better about themselves and win some games, you know, you don't really want that to snowball. That's right. The only thing.
Sorry about the Yankees last night, Sal. I mean, you got so much that went right. Cole, the start for Cole was great. Yeah. Judge homers early. Stanton, like, it's just all going. It's all there. And to have it unravel, that fifth inning had to be brutal. And then they got the lead back, too, and still could not find a way to force a game six.
Everything was – a lot went right, and then a lot went wrong in that inning, no doubt about it. You know, they've had times this year where the defense has failed them, and that just really snowballed on them in that particular inning. And look, I think that the Dodgers are the better team overall. I think that. I think they're a better roster. Yankees might have had even, you know, it might have better starting pitching, but, you know, it didn't necessarily work out early in this series. But I appreciate it. It's sports, right? It's sports, and that's what happens. It kind of stinks, but, you know, you move on, and now I guess you turn your attention to what's going to happen in the offseason because Soto is Soto's going to be a free agent, and that guy can almost name his price with any team.
Enjoy 27 pounds of candy. By the end of
all right,
the evening.
Guys, you two have a great night.
All right, there you go. That's our Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
What's a good number there, actually? Poundage of candy. You want it to be a little bit heavy.
Yeah. 27 pounds would be a lot of candy. I bought a ton of candy. I'll bet it's 15 pounds tops.
One person. Yeah, I'm thinking in bowling ball terms.
Yeah.
A 15-pound bowling ball, it's a pretty good size.
That's a hearty bowling ball. Yeah.
Double that? I mean, I don't know. It's different. Yeah. I'm not walking around
the bag is
neighborhood.
Your bag is breaking.
Yeah, that's right. The bag can't handle that.
There'd be real trouble there.
What is the quintessential Halloween drink? The definitive Halloween drink. You know, adult drink.
I feel like it's a stout.
Really?
Yeah. Like I don't eat chocolate a lot, like year round. I just don't. It's not like, oh, I gotta get a candy bar. Like, I'm not that guy. I wouldn't say I have a sweet tooth, right? But I'm sitting on the porch handing out the candy, and you know, there's you know all the big guys are there. Okay, your Snickers and your Milky Ways and your Reese's peanut butter cups and
you don't mess around.
The good chocolate candies. I don't want to. Hoppy IPA with that. I want a nice dark beer with that. That's what goes with that.
Beer wise, I think I'd agree, but overall, I'd say a spiked cider.
All right,
would be.
Yeah, I'm not.
It's 75 degrees though, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, I'm not going to try that hard though.
I don't think spiked cider. This Halloween is the same as most Halloweens. I mean, it's much warmer, so we'll have to mix it up.
We'll see. I hope the rain holds off. I heard that there's some rain in the area. That could put a damper on things, literally.
The definitive Halloween drink. Texans, Jets, Bills, Dolphins, we're here for your calls at 803-0550. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.